ever made. I didn't intend to repeat them, but somehow in the energy of the flesh, if we rush through life too quickly, we make bad decisions, and then we repeat those, and then we repeat those. Someone once said about us, the bad thing about history is that we don't learn from history. And the bad thing about mistakes is that we don't always correct them in a biblical way and learn from them. There are some common factors, I think, that cause us to make some bad mistakes. And if you're wondering what I'm doing this evening, rather than just simply preaching a message, I want to talk to you from my heart and then give you what I consider to be the best biblical advice that I know of. A passage of Scripture that you can grasp and biblical advice that you can follow and perhaps save yourself from making so many bad decisions. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm just going to read a very familiar passage and call your attention to things that we find in it. Rejoice in the Lord always, verse 4. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. I do not think that's talking about the second coming. I think he's saying the Lord is with you. The Lord is near you. Be reasonable because the Lord is present in your life. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true and whatever is honorable and whatever is just and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's just pray together. Father, help us tonight to look into our lives, to take self-inventory, to discover what causes us to make the mistakes that we make, to make bad decisions, to walk outside the lines and the boundaries that you've set in your word. And Father, help us tonight to just grasp the concept of looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, of walking in obedience and of trusting you for the outcome. Help us to recognize tonight that the best way not to make a bad mistake is to pray about everything, is to be full of your peace and contentment, is to think on the things that are good, beautiful, holy, and right for us. And Father, tonight as we leave here, help us to be broken in spirit and humble, that we might be willing to be led of your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, Brother Mike stood by me a moment ago, and he said, well, that ought to be a good sermon. And I said, well, it's mostly on that piece of paper, so I'm just going to read that. But that's not necessarily true. I'm going to comment a little bit on each one of these things. So let me just list about six or seven things that I think are common to bad mistakes. So when you guys make a bad mistake and you guys make a bad mistake and I make one, some of these elements that I'm about to mention to you are probably a part of that decision-making process. We make bad mistakes when we make a decision too quickly, when we think it and do it, when we see it and do it. Decisions made quickly can also be made in haste. And the Bible is very simple when it says, just learn to wait on the Lord. If a door is closed, don't try to pry open a window. If it doesn't look right and feel right, don't try to rush through it. Now, I want to just show you what I'm talking about. If you choose the fish, but the hamburger is better, that's not a mistake that's going to cost you unless it keeps you up that night. But if you choose the wrong mate, if you choose the wrong job, if you make a terrible decision about a relationship, if you make a decision that costs you financially and emotionally and physically, those decisions have repercussions. And while you might quickly say, I'll have the fish, and later wish you'd had the hamburger, you need to be really careful when you make decisions that have life-changing results. Consequences that days, weeks, months, years later, you would do anything if you could take it back, have what we call a redo. So be really careful when it comes to decision making, that the decisions that you make, you don't make them too quickly. There is a sense when every one of us needs to wait upon the Lord until the door is open, until the pathway is clear, until the signs are recognizable, until it's the right thing to do. But now you're going to think I'm contradicting myself, because the second thing I said is you can also make some decisions too slowly. If someone asks you about your faith, don't hesitate. Tell them that trusting Jesus is the best thing you've ever done. If it's time to read your Bible, don't wait. Rush into your prayer closet. Spend time with the Lord. Study to show yourself approved. There are things, now listen, there are things you don't even have to pray about, because they're already stated frankly in the Word of God. Well, should I pray? Pray without ceasing. Well, should I read my Bible? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Well, Should I share my faith? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize the believers, teach them to do the very same things. You see, to hesitate in making spiritual decisions that have already been determined, well, that's not a good thing to do. Now let me just chase a quick rabbit and I'll try to get back to the thoughts. The alarm goes off, or you just wake up on your own on Sunday morning, and the first question that comes to your mind is, am I going to church today? Let me tell you something about that decision that you're about to make. It should have already been made. You get what I'm saying? You make that decision, or you should, when you walk the aisle at Central Church and you profess to be a Christian and we place you into the baptismal waters and it shows that you are dead to sin, buried like Christ, and raised to walk in a newness of life. Faithfulness to church is a decision you should have already made. Get quiet if you want to, but that's the truth. Because I will assure you, if you wait till Sunday morning to decide whether you're going to church or not, you will decide against it more than you will decide for it. That's a decision a born-again believer ought to make and not hesitate in the making of it. You can't make that decision too quickly, but you can make it too slowly, because it ought to be the mark of every person who knows Christ as a personal Savior. Number three, if you make a decision just to keep people happy, then you most likely are going to make the wrong decision, because the right decision is seldom the popular decision. Did you hear what I said? The right decision is seldom the popular decision. Christians, don't you recognize that you are living before an audience of one? The eyes of the Lord follow you everywhere you go. They know what you think. They know what you do. They know where you are. And he alone is to be pleased by the decisions that you make. Others who know him may very well be pleased also. But God help us if we please the whole world and we don't please Jesus. He is the primary. He is the only one. He's the audience that we live our lives before. And looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and hearing "well done" at the end of our lives ought to be the priority and the goal that we have. The right decision is seldom the popular decision. If you're trying to please everybody, you're probably not going to please the Lord, because the world's way is not the Bible way. If you make a decision when you're angry, you're probably going to make a bad decision. Emotions control us, but not in the best possible way. Anger will often make us strike out when we should have remained constrained. You know the little phrase, always count to 10. I think we'd be better off if we always quoted a verse of Scripture. I think if we could just say, "Love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, and my neighbor as myself, and do unto others as I would have them do unto me." If maybe we quoted some Scripture instead of striking out when we were angry. Many of the decision that has been made in anger has ended up in brokenness and in hurt. And I'll add to that. I didn't put it on the paper, but I'll add to that. And keep this in mind. Don't make decisions when you're hurting. Quick decisions when your life has been turned upside down, whether it's resentment or anger or bitterness, where someone has done something terrible to you, whether you've lost a loved one, whether you've lost your job. It's in those emotional times in your life when making quick decisions normally mean you're making bad decisions. And I'll come back to that in just a moment when I'm talking about good decisions. But listen to this. Get your emotions out of the way. Your feelings are apt to lead you astray. It is faith that leads you down the right pathway. Anger, desire. If we could look back to the Old Testament for a quick illustration. When the children of Israel crossed over into the Promised Land, they came to a little city called Ai. Just two letters, A-I. And that's how it's pronounced, Ai. And God told them to destroy everything in that city, including the inhabitants, so that they could continue to move through the land and possess the land that God had given to them. There was a man in the tribe of Israel whose name was Achan. And the Bible tells us what Achan did. As he went through the city of Ai, his eyes lighted upon a golden wedge, some Babylonian garments, some things that really attracted him. He's like a lot of us when we go shopping. He didn't know it existed, but the moment he saw it, he wanted it and needed it. So he was ready to get it. And he stole the golden wedge and the Babylonian garment, and he took it to his tent, and he hid that. Well, little did he know the consequence, because the tiny little city of Ai rose up with just a couple of thousand soldiers and totally defeated the Israeli army. And when Joshua came looking for the guilty party, and finally from this tribe to this tribe to this tribe came to the tribe that Achan was a part of, and he asked the question, and Achan said, "Yes, I took the golden wedge and the Babylonian garment." Now listen to what he said. "I saw it. I wanted it. I took it. And I hid it. And then I had to lie about it." Now you see the process? When your emotions get the best of you, whether it's anger or lust or greed or envy or jealousy, when your emotions get the best of you, you're going to move quickly in the wrong direction. He saw it. He took it. He hid it. He lied about it. And it cost him dearly because it cost him his life. And now listen, I'm not trying to pry. I'm just being honest. And this many people in the room, there's somebody in here. There may be several somebodies in here tonight. You're living with the consequences of decisions that you made when your feelings got the best of you. So be careful. Not when you're angry or resentful or bitter or hurting. Be careful about making decisions alone. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Be careful in making your decisions alone. And let me give you a real practical reason for that. In decision making, it is good if you can see all sides of the circumstances. One person is not apt to be able to do that. If a friend comes along and says this phrase, but have you thought about? And you have to say, no, I have not. Then that is proof enough why decisions don't need to be made alone. And again, and I'm not trying to be silly, you can decide on the fish or the hamburger all by yourself. But don't buy a house, don't buy a car, don't take a job, don't get involved in a relationship, because when those decisions are made all by yourself, you don't have complete perspective. And complete perspective is necessary to make godly decisions. You make a bad decision when you are reactionary. What do I mean by that? He hit me, I'm going to hit him right back again. She said that, I'm going to retaliate. He did that, I'm going to do this. Reactionary decisions don't honor God and often get us in deep, deep water. So what should you do? Work from a plan. God's people are not supposed to react. We're supposed to respond. But if we work from a plan, we already know how we're going to act if certain things happen to us. What are you talking about? Listen to what Jesus said. If someone smites you on the cheek, what did he say? Turn the other cheek. See, that's the plan. That's the Word of God. That's knowing His advice. That's saying to you, you're not to immediately strike back. What happens if somebody sins against you? Forgive. What happens if somebody says, would you go a mile? Go the extra mile. You didn't know there was that kind of advice in the Word of God, did you? It's as practical as it possibly can be. We can walk by faith in the Word of God if we just study and know the Word of God. And so many times, we're reactionary. You know, I just didn't even know what road rage was until 10 or 15 years ago when I discovered if somebody cuts you off in traffic, it's okay if you shake your fist and honk your horn. No, it's not okay, especially if you have a Central Baptist Church sticker on your car. That's reactionary. You know what a response is? Count the value of the people in the car with you. Count the value of your testimony. Count the value of the perhaps that man, that woman might be here the next Sunday and sit by you in the pew. Count the value of doing what Christ would have done. Christ was not reactionary. He was responsive. He worked and walked by a plan. All that the Father tells me to do, that's what I do, Jesus said. So be careful about being reactionary. Work from a plan. Make decisions before the emergency comes. Respond based on thoughtful and prayerful decisions that have already been made. And let me just kind of conclude the bad decision part by saying this. Don't make decisions when you're afraid. Don't make them in fear. Fear is a red flag. There are two kinds of fear mentioned often in the Bible. One is the reverence of God. The other is the fear of circumstances brought about by a lack of faith and a lack of trust. Make your decisions by faith in God, not by fear. And you say, well, how can you do that? Don't make that decision until God gives you the faith to make that decision. There's a place where you act too quickly and where you need to slow down, because God is not the author of confusion. And if you are confused, then it very well may be a mistake. I won't give any particular details, but I got a phone call a couple of weeks ago from a person who'd been offered a job. Don't know what to do. I have to give a quick answer today. How do you feel? I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Then if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. God is not the author of confusion. He does not intend for you to make a decision when your mind is flustered and frustrated by all of the swirling ideas that are going on. God will bring calmness and peace to your life. That's what the text said. That's what the text said. And so let me quickly move over to how do you make a good decision? How do you make a good decision? The text is just full of advice. First of all, get in the Word of God. There are some things that even professing Christians decide to do that the Word of God is totally forbidding. Totally forbidding. You know, I know we can't legislate morality. I understand that. I know we can't go around with a clipboard and check off everything that we think is not right for you to do. In the first place, we're not spiritual police. That's not our job. You discover what's right and wrong by studying the Word of God and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But I want to be quite honest with you. The reason some people make mistakes, bad mistakes, make bad decisions, is because they have not studied the Word enough to know what God says about the Word. I can't tell you how many times through the years, and the other pastors would tell you the same thing. People come to me and say, I know what the Bible says, but I've prayed about it, and this is what I'm going to do. Well, let me just quickly tell you that prayer never leads you this way if the Word of God is leading you this way. You cannot pray the Word of God out of existence. It says what it means, and it means what it says, and prayer is saying, Lord, I desire to know your will, and you find that through the Word. I want to know your will, and if I know your will, I'm willing to do it. So if you want to make a good decision about anything at any time, bury your heart and your head in the Word of God. You say, well, what if it's not there? I'm going to go out on a limb here and tell you that I'm a young man, and I haven't been doing this very long, but I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you that every decision you'll ever be called on to make, God has a word about that decision. I'm just going out on a limb, and I'm going to just tell you that. I believe it with all my heart. Oh, don't play Russian roulette and say, well, I didn't find it on that page. But there is a principle in the Word of God that covers every decision the child of God is ever called on to make. And you'd know that if you studied the Word. Number two, after much prayer. Now, I told you earlier, and I'm going to repeat myself very quickly. There are some things you don't have to pray about anymore. Is it right or wrong to witness? Well, it's right to witness. Is it right or wrong to be faithful to church? It's the right thing to do. Well, what about reading my Bible? That's the right thing. There are some things you don't have to pray about. They're laid out in the Word of God. They're standards for the Christian. They're precepts. They're God's judgments for us, and they're the right thing for us to do. But anything else, you're a very foolish person if you profess to be a Christian and you enter into a set of circumstances without having first prayed about it. I don't mean to be mean-spirited, but I'm just going to tell you, you're a foolish person if you call yourself a Christian and you make a decision without praying about it. If lust leads you, if pride leads you, if jealousy leads you, if anger leads you, if resentment leads you, you're a very foolish person if you make a decision without praying about it. And of course, the more important things in life need the most prayer. Anyone who would get in a relationship with another person without praying about it is making a terrible mistake. It's just guesswork. It's the same thing as gambling. It's throwing the dice of the world into the air and saying wherever they fall and however they fall, I'm willing to live by that. I, for one, am not willing to gamble the things of this life, as brief as life is and as terrible as some consequences can be. Don't make a decision without spending time in prayer. Somebody said, well, you got to tell me right now. No, you don't. No, you don't. Best testimony you'll ever give to anybody is, I can't tell you right now. Why? I've got to pray about this. I've got to pray about this. That shows them that what your God thinks is more important than what you think. That's a great testimony. I can't give you an answer immediately. I've got to pray about it. Well, if you don't take it now, you don't get it. Well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is, because I can't do anything until God gives me divine approval. Study your Bible. Make it a matter of prayer. Third thing I want to talk to you about is counsel. I know you won't think this when I say it, but somebody in this world is smarter than you are. Somebody in this world has more experience than you do. Somebody in this world has been there and you haven't. And you know, you parents, you grandparents, you know that the hardest thing to get into the mind of a teenager is that their parents are not trying to be mean-spirited, but they have an experience that the child does not have. And they're sharing life experiences with the prayer that they won't make some of the same mistakes we made. You get that? Well, somewhere there's somebody with more experience than me, than you, than us. Seek godly counsel. In the presence of godly counsel, the Bible tells us there's success. There is failure when we approach a circumstance by ourselves. There is success when we seek the spiritual advice of others. Now, if I could just say this very quickly. If you've got something on your heart, and you're trying to make a decision, you talk to two or three people that know the Word of God, know the God of the Word, pray. They're filled with the Spirit, and they say a red flag's there, and you rush on ahead, you're making a terrible mistake. God closes doors in more than one way. And one way that He closes doors is by the spiritual advice of godly people that plead with you, that beg of you not to make that mistake, not to go in that direction, not to get involved in that set of circumstances. This next to the last thought is obviously the practical thought of all of them. If it's involving a decision that's got to be made, make sure you walk in the shoes of the other person. And what I really mean by that is get everybody's perspective on that. How would you feel if that decision were being made by others about you? how would that impact, influence your life if someone else was making that decision about you and now you're making that decision about them or something that they are involved in? It works in a large parameter. Just put yourself in the place of others and always do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then the final thing is, count the cost. Jesus gives a parable in the Gospels. And he said, a king goes out to enter a war. But when he does so, he needs to count the cost. How many soldiers do I have? How many soldiers does the enemy have? Where will the battleground be? What time of the year is it? Add all the factors in and count the cost. And I'll just give you a little hint for parents and grandparents. Sometimes the cost is too great. You can't fight every battle. You can't win every battle. Not every hill is a hill you ought to choose to die on. You ought to make your decisions knowing full well that some are more important than others. Now, having said that, in every set of circumstances, count the cost. What if this is a wrong decision? Count the cost. Have I spent enough time in prayer? Do I know what the Word of God says? Do I have the approval of those that I trust who are around me? Do I have a clear mind and a light heart? Does the peace of God that the Scripture speaks of, does the peace of God live in my mind and my heart? Can I make this decision fully trusting that if Jesus were to come in the midst of it, He'd be honored and I'd be glad? Be careful about your decisions and make sure you count the cost. Well, I don't know exactly why the Lord laid the passage or the thoughts on my mind, but surely somebody else like me is in this place tonight. You've made some pretty bad decisions in your life, and the consequences were hurtful and difficult to get through. And you know you don't want to make that kind of decision again. So don't make your decisions too quickly. But then on the other hand, if God speaks, it's time to move. Don't make them too slowly. Don't make them just to keep somebody else happy, because Jesus is the one you're to please. Be careful that your feelings and your emotions get in the way. Don't be angry or hurting or resentful or bitter when you make your decision. Don't make your decision by yourself. There are too many godly people for you to make a decision alone. Don't always be reactionary. Strike back quickly. We need to consider before we move. Don't be afraid. If you're scared of the circumstance, God's not the author of that. Walk by faith, not in confusion. And spend some time in the Word of God. Pray about every decision that you make. Seek the counsel of those who are wise and who've been there and who know more and who will share the truth with you. Put yourself in the other people's place. How will it impact others, not just yourself? And oh, whatever you do, count the cost. For some decisions require too high a price for you ever to enjoy the decision that you make. Let's stand together. Now let me tell you.